The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 631. Top that. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out some of the great Mayberry items they've got there. You got to go check it out. You can get you a Mayberry patrol car emblem embroidered hat. That's right. You can get you a nice looking hat. Fits really well. Love that hat. And hey, while you're over there, if you love Weavers, maybe you can get you a Weavers t-shirt. That's right. You can get a t-shirt that says Weavers Department Store and a hat. Man, head over to Weavers Department Store and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 631 is Kevin Rose. Not Kevin Rose. That's a whole different guy. Brian Rose. Brian, thank you so much for supporting the show. And maybe you'll do it again, even though I said your name wrong. Now, Brian is the host of the Mayberry Devotional that you can also find over at twochairsnowaiting.com. If you go there, you can find three different podcasts. No, four. Let's say we got Two Chairs No Waiting. We got the Mayberry Bible Study podcast is there, the Burke on Mayberry, and also the Mayberry Devotion. So Mayberry Devotional podcast, you can go and check all those out if you head over to twochairsnowaiting.com and just see all the great fun there. And Brian Rose is the host of the Mayberry Devotional podcast. So, all right, guys, we have got a fun show, I think, I hope, tonight. I was sent a submission recently by a fellow named Martin Simmons. Okay. So who am I, by the way? I'm Alan Newsom, the host here at Two Chairs. So Martin sent me a nice email the other day. He said, hey, I was talking to Jim Clark, and we had created this video that was going to be a submission to another, like a YouTube channel, and he wanted to know if I would be interested. So I said, sure, let me see it. It's pretty fun. So the YouTube channel had asked for a submission to them that was, the topic was Top That. You know, so send me a story where somebody says something and you say, well, here, top that, you know, here we go. So this was a really nice story that's all a Mayberry connection that he sent me. It's fairly short, but I wanted to play this for you just to start the show off because I know you're going to enjoy it. So here are Martin and his friend here that you're going to see him in the podcast here. Here they come. His name is...
I've known Mike for decades, Mike. And in all those years, I've never been able to impress him until one day.
I was in a deli that had some cookbooks for sale, and one was Aunt Bee's Delightful Desserts. Well, I knew Martin was a big Andy Griffith Show fan. He even claims to be the most avid fan in the entire state of Florida.
Mike, could you put that over there for me, please? Thank you.
So for those that are just listening, that was a car tag.
Come out with that cookbook.
With JL327 on it.
And they put it out for sale that morning. Well, I was going to see Martin that afternoon, and I wanted to show it to him, so I bought a copy. I wondered if he'd ever seen it. Did he even know it existed? Well, when I saw him, I said, hey, Martin, I've got something I bet you've never seen. You ever seen this?
I simply said, turn to page 104.
And there it was. Not only did he definitely know the cookbook existed, but his recipe for cashew fudge was published in the cookbook. I was impressed.
Every Tuesday night, for as long as Barney can remember, he and Thelma Lou were sitting on that couch, a pan of cashew fudge between them, watching that doctor show on TV. And as Calvin Coolidge said, top that.
I don't think Calvin Coolidge said that.
Well, what did Calvin Coolidge say?
So that was Martin Simmons and Mike Bates, and then they submitted that to that podcast. Now, what they were talking about, the Aunt Bee's Delightful Desserts Cookbook. Now that's no longer available. And so they had that. So I wanted to just bring that up. And if in that book you happen to go not only to the page he mentioned, but if you go to page 92, it's Colonel Harvey's Creamy Mocha Fudge. It says Jan and Alan Newsome, Huntsville, Alabama. So we have one in there. Oh, wait. But to top that, if you turn to page 150, it's also got Floyd's Mocha Frosting. By Jan Newsome and Alan Newsome. Oh, look at that. So if you actually have a copy of Aunt Bee's Delightful Dessert, and you can get a copy of it, they're hard to find. They don't sell them. It's not made anymore. But we had two in here. So that's awesome. Anyway, I thought that was fun. So thanks, Martin, for sending that along. And that was really fun when Jim actually put our – I love the mocha icing, by the way. Oh, that's a good one. That's what I always want my cake to be each year. So that's my birthday cake icing each and every year is that. So, all right. So let's go. Now the next thing I wanted to just tell you guys about is there was an article in the winter 2021 edition of Mayberry Magazine that's put out by the Mount Airy News. They put it out, and there's an article in there. Now, I've known about this. Obviously, it's been published since, I think January, maybe February. It's been out for quite a while. It's currently May, but I didn't want to tell anybody about it or talk about it very much, because if you look at the article in it is actually called, yeah, it's embarrassing. I don't want to say. It's called Mayberry's First Couple, Keeping Fans Together. So if you look at it, that's what it's actually called. And it's about, they did an interview. John Peters did an interview with Jan and myself about our Mayberry stuff. And we did not come up with this title at all, by the way. This was not our thinking or doing. So please don't think that we were calling ourselves Mayberry's First Couple, because that's not what happened. But let me see here if I can get a little bit of background music for us, and I'll read this story for you. Let's do this. Oh, that's kind of sad and slow. Let's read that. We'll put that in the background. All right. So this is a story by John Peters that was in the Mayberry Magazine 21 here, winter 21. So again, it's kind of embarrassing. It is called Mayberry's First Couple. It's got a question mark at least. It says, Alan and Jan Newsome keep Mayberry fans connected. They wouldn't like the title, which is definitely true. Both are far too modest. See, this is even embarrassed to read this, by the way. All right. So both are far too modest, quick to give credit and respect to others. But if there were to be a first couple of Mayberry, it might just fit Alan and Jan Newsome. Or, you know, it could hit, you know, Jim Clark and Mary, and there's a lot of other people. Anyway, I appreciate John thinking this much of us, but Alan, of course, is known throughout Mayberrydom as Floyd the Barber tribute artist, appearing each year at Mayberry Days in Mount Airy here in North Carolina, where he serves as the master of ceremony for annual Mayberry Days opening ceremony and takes part in several shows during the annual gatherings, and helps to the sponsoring Surrey Arts Council and its army of staff and volunteers with all sorts of tasks behind the scenes, and helps to keep the event running smoothly. He also the accidental founder of the annual summer meetup for the Andy Griffith Show fans, an event that has grown from a simple dinner with fellow fans into a regular, organized, yet informal summer gathering in Mount Airy, the real life Mayberry. And then there's the online presence both maintain. Alan with his weekly Two Chairs No Waiting podcast, and Jan's Weaver's Department Store, where fans can go online and find all sorts of Mayberry goodies. The podcast, held every Monday evening, it's recorded live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, is a folksy, feel-good virtual visit with with Alan, in which he talks about various aspects of the Andy Griffith Show, its stars and the show's fans, and related subjects. Alan started the podcast in 2008. I feel weird reading this in second person, but back when few people had ever heard of the term podcast, back in 2008. I run imayberry.com for the Andy Griffith Show, Rio and Rutgers Club. the decision to begin the podcast was made because I had some audio interviews that I'd posted on imayberry.com. And those interviews were in the days when people had dial-up modems and their internet was not very good. The quality was poor. At least using the internet and playback technologies at that time, it was poor. Later, I decided to upgrade the quality. I thought if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to introduce the interviews and explain them. And well, if I'm going to do that, I might as well just do a podcast. That was a quote. Thus, the weekly show was born. I finished, I'm saying I now. He wasn't finished with his refinements, though. More than a year after starting, around the 70th episode, he thought about doing a live show on YouTube while recording it, both as a video and as a podcast, so folks could watch or listen anytime. The only reason I started doing the live recording was I knew other podcasters were doing that, and I figured I'd try it, but I didn't really think anyone would come and watch or listen. The whole reason for doing a podcast is you can download it and listen to it anytime you want to. And I figured nobody would show up for a live show. Well, about a dozen people turned up for that first one and they started to watch and comment on the performances. And I thought, oh no, because I really wasn't prepared to have anybody show up and keep, 12 people entertained with a podcast. So the numbers continued to grow and grew more and more. And it's not unusual to have two dozen people or more checking out the live podcast of the show. Some from as far away as Ireland. The Floyd tribute artist said initially he had planned to do the show for close to 5 years or 249 episodes, which is the number of episodes in the Andy Griffith Show. Fans and friends had other ideas. When I started getting close to that number, people were like, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't stop. So more than 600 episodes later, I'm still going strong with a wide variety of subject matter for each show. Lots of times it just comes from watching an episode and spotting something I didn't ever recall. Don't remember ever seeing that before or talking about it. Or maybe there's something in the news that week that relates to the show. There's always something that triggers what I'm going to do. Every once in a while, I'll do a trivia episode. Different things, they just hit you different weeks. And maybe it's somebody's birthday or one of the cast members' birthday. And I end up talking about them. More than producing the podcast, though, Alan says he enjoys interacting with the fans. And the idea that he's offering a place for them to gather regularly. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of become a thing. Last night we had at least 50 people visiting live with one another, he said after a recent show that was on YouTube. A lot more people will download or watch the video portion later, but it's that interaction you get with a weekly live group with people who are coming there and visiting when I'm doing the show live. It makes it feel more Mayberry when I'm doing it like that. The show remains on YouTube after I'm finished with the live performance, and he says he usually gets around 300 to 400 views. While some new ones, after a little while, they generate 700 or 800 downloads and views as well. So you got audio and video versions. And he says he has no idea when he'll close shop on the podcast. As long as it's fun, as long as I'm still enjoying it, and as long as people still want me to do it, I'll keep doing it. I'll do it. I really do enjoy visiting with the people and hearing their backgrounds. One young fan stands out, in particular, a young man who was fighting through cancer treatments. He wrote me after it was over and said, "Hey, your podcast helped me get through my cancer treatments. Listening to it lifted my spirits and let me forget some of the troubles I was having." I related to John, that really touches you. You never really expect that what you're doing can have any sort of impact like that. I mean, it's about the Andy Griffith Show. But if it makes people smile and forget their troubles for a little while, there's a lot to be said for that. While Alan keeps himself busy with the podcast and YouTube show, his wife Jan has her own special connection with Mayberry Weaver's Department Store. Fans of the show will recall the store and its owner, the curmudgeonly Ben Weaver, as important characters and settings for several of the show's episodes. While the Mayberry retailer is a modern-day website namesake, Jan Newsom is about as far from being Ben Weaver as one can get. With an easy laugh and a simple desire to help Mayberry friend and family find their items that they enjoy, whether it's a t-shirt, a calendar, or some other Mayberry-related item. The Newsom said that Jim Clark, the self-proclaimed head goober, the presiding goober of the Andy Griffith Show Real and Watchers Club, started Weaver's years ago as a way to generate enough revenue to keep the club and support its activities. When I started iMayberry.com, I created Weaver's online site for him in the very early 90s, maybe 1992. Alan said, "It's been around so long that when I created the iMayberry website, you had to email Yahoo and tell them you had started a website, and they would email you back and say, 'Okay, you're in the search engine,' which is a true statement." That is how they did. 6 years ago, the Newsoms bought Weaver's Department Store from Jim Clark, and now she keeps the business running smoothly, even in busy times. In November, we had about 290 orders, which is a lot for us. That's the most we've had in a month. Though December was quickly approaching that figure with about 200 orders by the middle of the month. With an employee force of one, Jan, that means a lot of late nights and weekends packing and shipping out orders. She's now Mrs. Weaver, is what I said. People call her Mrs. Weaver, and she writes notes to people on her orders, and she writes notes on every order. That's developed into a relationship with people. That's the thing about the Andy Griffith Show Real and Watchers Club. It's about relationships with people. While the Mayberry version of Weaver's was a traditional retail space in Main Street, the online version is quite different. It is in what would have been the living room and dining room of the front part of our house, she says. Most of the profits made from items sold go toward different Mayberry-themed organizations, events, when they occur. "We support different organizations and events," she said. "Mayberry Days, Mayberry in the Midwest, the George Lindsay Film Festival are among some of the efforts that the proceeds of Weaver's go to help support, as well as Special Needs Program that's also in Alabama. We support them." Jan said, "I have to write a check to myself. I have yet to write a check to myself. My first paycheck," she says with a laugh, explaining that it's not only a labor of love, but sometimes time-consuming in unexpected ways. "A lot of our customers are the same people, and you see their orders over and over. Some order online, some order on the phone, and they'll want to talk. I'll have a 20-minute conversation with some of them, just talking about Mayberry stuff and about the weather and about whatever's going on at the time." Again, building relationships, as Alan said, and keeping the spirit of Mayberry alive, and most definitely qualifying the two for serious consideration for the title of Mayberry's first couple. So thank you, John. That's very nice of you. Nice article, nice story. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Like I said, it's kind of embarrassing to me. We have not really talked about it coming out because it was, I don't know. we definitely don't feel like we're Mayberry's first couple. So that would not have been something that we said. So yeah, I was a little embarrassed about it, but we had some people in the podcast community that were asking about it. Some of this is available online, so you can go and check it out there. If you search Google and type Mayberry Magazine Winter 2021, it'll find it and you can download it and see a PDF version of the magazine. It's hard to get the magazine, but I will tell you that you can subscribe, which is what we do, to the magazine and get a copy yourself if you'd like to get future copies. It's $28 for a year, and you get 4 issues of Mayberry Magazine, and it's always filled with neat Mayberry things. There's always trivia. Randy Turner has been doing a segment in there recently for quite a while, actually. So go and check it out. If you'd like to get a copy, you can call them. That's probably the best way. You can contact the Mount Airy News is really the best way to find out. But it's the phone number. So write it down if you would like it. Is 336-786-4141. So it's 336-786-4141. And ask them about the Mayberry Magazine you'd like to subscribe. Make sure they don't try to subscribe you to the Mount Airy News, but the Mayberry Magazine. But it's $28 for 4 issues. That's how many they do in a year. So you can go and check it out. All right. So there you go. There's some really nice articles in here too. Bipperman's in here. There's several people that have nice stories in this. There's a really nice story by Randy that's about the Christmas story in this particular issue, but definitely go and check that out. All right. So now it's time for a little bit of trivia. Everybody ready? Pull out your pencil and we're going to do 5 trivia questions. Oh, before we do that, let me go ahead and correct something. So last week, one of the trivia questions was, what is the hometown of the one-man band that traveled through Mayberry? I mistakenly was thinking that that would have been from the banjo playing deputy, which Randy's going to talk about in a little while. But it was not, because Larry Taylor wrote me and said, I thought the musician was from Morgantown. Well, that was from the banjo playing deputy. So our trivia expert, Paul Mulick, wrote me and said, the reference to the one-man band from Altoona is in the episode The Guitar Player. Andy recalls that he got confused and blew into the wrong end of the clarinet. So that's where that's from. That wasn't from the episode with Jerry Miller. So Jerry Miller was from Morgantown, West Virginia, where Aunt B once lived, the hometown of Don Knotts himself. Okay, so that's just clear up last week's question. Altoona was correct. I was incorrect about what episode it came from. All right, so 5 questions. Here we go. Ready? What household product is Aunt B's marmalade said to smell like? That's a good one. What household product is Aunt B's marmalade said to smell like? All right, let's see how you're doing. Think about it. If you want to pause, you can do that so that you don't hear the answer. But here's the answer. What household product is Aunt B's marmalade said to smell like? It's said to smell like ammonia. You been painting in here? What is it? You don't think that gas stove's leaking, do you? Smells like ammonia. That's what it smells like. All right. Yeah. All right. Number 2. What is the first name of Charlene Darling's daughter? Oh, this is an easy one. What is the first name of Charlene Darling's daughter? Charlene. What's your daughter's name? All right. Charlene Darling's daughter, Darlin Walsh. Her daughter's name is Andalina. Okay. Hopefully you got that. Maybe you got it. All right. That was a color episode, so you got to be ready. All right, here's number 3. Who secretly Ran is still in the Rimshaw house. Who secretly ran a still in the Rimshaw house? What's his name? Who secretly ran a still in the Rimshaw house? The answer is Big Jack Anderson. Ooh. Any old traps down there? None down there. Okay. Man, just the trivia questions make me smile because it makes me think of these episodes. All right, number four. Two more questions here. Number four. All right. Andy's business cards are printed in what color ink? Ooh, I knew this one. It's color. It's a color episode. I'll give you a little hint. Andy's business cards are printed in what color ink? All right. Gonna stop giving you any time. You have to pause if you don't want to know. Andy's business cards are printed in green ink. Green. The same color used for that counterfeit money that they were printing. Green ink. There you go. Folks in the chat room are getting it. They're doing pretty good in there. Jim Sherrill, our Mayberry Days trivia expert, is in the chat room as well. So he's getting them. He's being nice and letting other people try. All right. Last question. Last question. What is the stage name of Irene Fogg, the movie star from Mayberry? What is the stage name of Irene Fogg? I guess it's Flog, the movie star from Mayberry. Okay, it's a color episode, but you should know this one. What is the stage name of Irene Flog, the movie star from Mayberry? Okay, remember who she was. Barney was on that episode. It's color. The answer is Tina Andrews. Tina Andrews. Remember when Barney, she was in town and Barney came riding up in the train and thought all the big hubbub was because he was coming to town. You remember that? So how did you do, folks? These trivia questions all came from Mayberry Trivia by Scott Hopkins, a book that you can get over at Weaver's Department Store, 1,500 questions about a TV classic. So go and check those out. These are fun. See, if you just sit around and read these, just think how much smarter you'll be. So Tina Andrews was her name. All right, guys, how did you do? Did you do good? Did you make it? Hopefully you did well. Hopefully you did. All right, so now we're going to hear from what you've all been waiting for. I know who you come to hear, not me. This Week in Mayberry History.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
The last black and white episode of The Andy Griffith Show aired on May the 3rd, 1965. Banjo-playing deputy was a rarity in the series. While there was not technically a specific story arc, as each episode told its own complete and independent story, this episode and the previous week's episode, Opie and the Carnival, both played upon the backdrop of a carnival being in town. In the episode, we learn that Floyd is a true admirer of culture when we learn he is quite the fan of the Sultan's favorite show at the carnival, featuring a dancing harem girl. When Clara describes it as a Gucci Hoochie show, Floyd strenuously disagrees, saying he didn't see anything disgraceful about it, and he had seen it 6 times. Can a person ever get too much culture? Hope Summers is clearly playing Clara, and Andy even addresses her that way, calling her Miss Edwards. But in the credits, Hope is listed as playing Mrs. Bedloe. I've seen the original script, and the character was in fact supposed to be a Mrs. Bedloe. Undoubtedly, Hope Summers ended up being available, so they used her as Clara instead of a different actress as a Mrs. Bedloe, and the credits simply just didn't get changed. When Andy and the ever-appreciative Floyd attend the show, and Andy later talks with the manager, it leads to the one-man band Jerry Miller getting fired. To make it up to him, Andy brings him home so he will have a place to stay. When Aunt B learns he is from Morgantown, West Virginia, and the son of friends of hers, she insists Andy hire Jerry temporarily. The use of Morgantown was a shout-out to the departing Don Knotts hometown. Jerry Miller was played by Jerry Van Dyke. While it was not publicized as such at the time, the episode has the obvious feel of a tryout to see if Jerry might work as a replacement deputy since Don Knotts was leaving the show. A previous episode, The Luck of Newt Monroe, had the same feel. In fact, we now know that Jerry Van Dyke was offered the part of the new deputy, but turned it down because he didn't want to be part of an ensemble, and instead chose to be the star of My Mother the Car, widely viewed as one of the worst sitcoms ever made. Jerry Van Dyke would have been a logical choice. First and foremost, he was managed by Dick Link, who also managed Andy Griffith, Jim Nabors, Maggie Peterson, Ken Berry, and others. Plus, Jerry's brother Dick Van Dyke was already the star of his own hit series, with both that show and The Andy Griffith Show being produced by Sheldon Leonard. My personal feeling is that Jerry Van Dyke might have been able to make the role work. He was very funny, but in a different way than Don Knotts was. But then again, who knows? Jack Burns was a very funny man, but the producers wrote the part of Warren Ferguson much too closely to the way they wrote for Barney, and then tried to shoehorn part of Jack's abrasive style, which proved only to be uncomfortable. His repetition of huh, an intentionally annoying phrase worked brilliantly in the taxi skits he did in comedy routines with Avery Schreiber, but they only came across as annoying without the humor in The Andy Griffith Show. I would argue this is in no way Jack Burns' fault. He was doing the job requested, and the failure of the character of Warren is all too often unfairly blamed on Jack himself. Of course, comedy is subjective. I'm always amazed when people on Facebook feel the need to comment on posts involving Jerry Van Dyke as the banjo-playing deputy, saying that they can't stand his character in the episode. Then again, there are lots of folks who feel the same way about the Darlings, about Ernest T. Bass, about the Fun Girls, and so on. I always find myself thinking, wow, you really can't please everybody. And of course, I have to fight the urge to reply to those comments with something along the line of, thank you so much for sharing that you dislike a character that many other Mayberry fans adore. Well, I'll get off my soapbox now, but Banjo Playing Deputy did mark the end of the black and white years. Of course, we all know how many fans of The Andy Griffith Show blanketly dislike all color episodes, refusing to try to find the humor that is often still I already got off my soapbox. Well, that's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening. And remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and take Andy's advice, and go out there and act like somebody.
Well, thank you, Randy. That was a great report. And, you know, if you want to make sure you don't miss out on any of the fun stuff that Randy is doing around Mayberry, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. turnersgrade@gmail.com, and he'll make sure you don't miss out on anything. And I have to agree. Wow, I think Jerry Van Dyke would have been amazing as the deputy. Because it already appeared that they were writing it differently for him. He would have had a different character. And I've always felt bad for Jack, for Warren. They wrote it just like it was Barney, even to the point of him called Warren. They called him almost like Barn, you know. And I just think it's too bad because I think it's because of the way it was written that it just didn't work. And you couldn't replace Don Knotts. And I think Jerry Van Dyke would not have. He wouldn't have appeared to be replacing him. It would be a different person doing the deputy role, but it wouldn't have been so much as Warren felt more like they were just trying to kind of replace Barney, and it just didn't feel right. And I've always felt bad for him about that. And yeah, don't talk about things you don't like. There's so much to like about the Andy Griffith Show. I'm on Randy's soapbox. Talk about what you do like and try to forget the things you don't, or that you don't like. Just enjoy them. So, folks, that is all I have for you tonight. I'm sure there's other things I probably have forgotten to tell you, but I hope you have enjoyed the episode. And, you know, if I forgot to tell you, there's always next week. There's always next week. So I hope you'll join me then. I would love to hear from you. You can send me a voicemail by calling 888-684-8415 and leave me a message. You can send me an email if you'd rather, but I'd a lot rather hear from you. Just head over to twochairsnowaiting.com. The information is there about how to contact us, or me, and I would love to hear from you. I'll try to do an episode here pretty soon of all the feedback I've been getting, because there's been a good bit, and I need to get that all together. So thank all of you who have already contacted me with notes and stuff, and we'll get to it. And we'll see you guys all right here next week on Two Chairs. Have a great week.